What's up, everybody? I want to welcome you to another episode of An Investor's Journey. This is Jonathan Barbera with Prime Homes. And I am sorry. I know I've said I was going to try to start putting these out every Wednesday. This past week, we held the Black Sheep Open, which is a charity golf tournament that brings together the real estate community. And there's volunteers, sponsors, and it's a good time. And it takes a lot to put that together and a lot of planning, a lot of, making sure that the golfers attend and the volunteers and the sponsors and coordinating everything. And this year we had, I would say about 200 people there, over 140 golfers, volunteers. We had so many sponsors. So it was a lot of coordination. And here in San Antonio, we had a lot of rain, which caused a lot of stress for us as far as we may have had to probably postpone, which makes it tougher because now, all these sponsors and everybody, they were planning out months ahead of time to make sure to carve out this day. So, I mean, it was kind of stressful and hectic, and I just completely forgot to, not even forgot, but just did not have a time to sit down and actually put an episode together for you guys. But I'm able to do it now, so I'm getting it out. I'm recording it today, and I'm going to put it out today. So hope you guys enjoy this. On this episode, what I wanted to cover was the truth about passive income. That is the biggest appeal for real estate investing to most people, and which is great, right? I mean, we all want passive income. That should be your ultimate goal, whether it's through notes or through rentals. You should always work towards passive income. Running a flip company or wholesaler, that's not passive. As soon as you're done doing the flip or wholesaling the property, you're broke again. I mean, you got to move on to the next one, and you got to do the next one and the next one. There's no continuous revenue coming in. So that's why you want to target passive income. But the problem is, from what I've seen now, we started in real estate investing, we started wholesaling to buy and hold investors. So this was 5 years ago or something. The reason I started doing that was because I love buy and hold, right? So I always tell every wholesaler, wholesale what you want, because then you learn how to look at deals. You learn how to analyze the wholesale deals, how to analyze, let's say in my case, a proper rental. What do buy and hold investors are looking for? What mistakes they're making when they're buying a buy and hold, right? So doing all of this helped me gain my education even further on how to determine what's a good rental area, financing, and everything that goes along with it. So we started doing this about 4 or 5 years ago. And one thing that I learned from a lot of these investors was they really think passive income is you buy a property, you get a property manager, and you walk away, right? That's it. You're done. Mailbox money. Go on vacation. And what I started seeing was that deferred maintenance became an issue. Things were breaking in the house that they didn't anticipate. They weren't keeping up with the updates with things that the property needed, so they were losing on further appreciation. I mean, all of these things started coming in. And I started taking note of this, and that kind of started growing my own knowledge as to how I wanted to acquire rentals, right? To avoid those things. But that's where we kind of, this was about, I think, 3 years back, coined the term active retirement planning instead of passive retirement planning, because you need to be active in this. Just because you bought a rental and you got a property manager doesn't mean that you're done. You understand? Like, there's still so much more that needs to get done. You still need to be aware of the rentals that you own in the markets that you own them to know, should I be raising rents? Does my property compete with the properties in the neighborhood? Because if it doesn't, then let's say you're in a neighborhood that the rents are kind of stagnant, right? But a new properties come on the market that are more updated than yours. Now they're going to get the newer that max rent that you're probably getting. And your rent might get knocked down because now your property is dated compared to those. Now, this is just one scenario that I've seen happen, but it's something that you got to keep in mind. When you're buying a house and you're keeping it, you got to understand that passive income doesn't mean that you just, because you bought the house and you put a property manager, that you go to sleep. At least not in my point of view. Rental is moving. Homes, they're always, you know, there's so many moving parts. So you got to make sure that you're keeping an eye on all these moving parts. So let's cover from the beginning how we analyze a rental, how we analyze when we want to pick up a property and when we want to keep it. So when we look at a property, we look at all the repairs that are going to be needed for the property. Now, one of the issues that I've seen with this area is real estate agents as well as wholesalers. They'll tell you, oh no, it's good as is to rent right now, right? Or, you know, it only needs paint and carpet and you're good to go and you can get it rented. The problem with doing the bare minimum to get it rented is that a lot of times you're buying it like that. So let me explain a little further. You are buying a house, let's say, that supposedly all you need to get it painted is paint and carpet, right? Well, I would never put carpet on a rental, but, you know, it's a common industry phrasing of paint and carpet. But let's say paint and laminate, right? And you're good to go. So you're buying this house budgeting for paint and laminate. But what we look at is, well, how old is the AC? How bad is the foundation maybe? Or how bad is the roof? How old is the kitchen? How old is the plumbing? We start looking at all those things because in my repairs, I'm not going to budget just paint and laminate. Even though that may be what I do right now, just to get it rented and to capture. And there's some neighborhoods here in San Antonio that you're capturing appreciation. You're getting good rents because it's a desirable price point or a desirable neighborhood. So you don't have to do much. But that doesn't mean that later on you won't have to, right? So this is where the problem comes in. Because then a year down the road, 2 years down the road, the AC goes out. And now you got to come out of pocket $5,000. And if you're only cash flowing $300, I mean, you're not going to cash flow again for quite a while. Because you got to make up those $5,000 that you just put in that AC unit. And just putting in that $5,000 doesn't appreciate your property at all. So, I mean, you're putting in something that is literally not bringing you any real value. But you're putting it because you have to, because the AC went out, right? So these are all things that we take into consideration when we buy rentals. We look at these things. We say, okay, so yes, paint and laminate to get it going, right? To get it rented and just take possession. But I'm also going to have, you know, maybe the roof is 15, 20 years old. It's beat to shit. You know, eventually we're going to have to replace that. I want to budget that in when I buy my house. And guess what? If those numbers don't work, I won't buy it. Now, this is very important because people, especially buy and hold investors or anybody looking to get into it, they have that fear of missing out. They feel like right now is the best time to buy real estate and there's never going to be another time to buy real estate ever again in their life. That is so far from the truth. You know, real estate is a good investment to be in regardless of where the economy is, right? There's always going to be a good time to buy real estate. The only thing that's going to change is maybe the strategy that you're using at the time. But you can always buy real estate, even when it's at the tippy top and when it's crashing and when it's at the bottom and when it's going up, just the strategies change. That's all. But you can still buy real estate. So if you can eliminate that fear of missing out, you will eliminate a lot of the mistakes of rushing into a property. So when we look at a property, we evaluate what are all the potential things that are going to go wrong, right? Because they are going to go wrong. And a lot of times what I've seen is the people that didn't budget for these, those things go wrong almost immediately. I mean, there's a saying that I heard when I was really young. This was when I was in school, I heard this saying, and it always stuck with me. That they said, life is the best teacher because it punishes you first, and then it teaches you the lesson. So this is exactly what's happening to people. They're being taught by life. Life is punishing them right off the bat, right? So it's like, oh, you didn't budget for all this? Well, here, now you got to put in a new roof. You got to fix the AC. The water line just broke. So now all of a sudden, you bought this house thinking that you only needed $5,000 in repairs, and you're already 15 into it because of all these things that broke, and your tenants are pissed off, and they're probably going to, you know, move out at the end of their lease, if not sooner, which causes a turnover, which causes dead months, you know, and that eats into your cash flow. Now this property that you thought was passive is kicking your ass. So again, I'm not trying to scare you. This is just real facts. This is real life. And this shit happens a lot. I mean, we've wholesaled 2 buy and hold investors, I don't know, a couple hundred properties already. And I've seen the way they've managed these deals. And we used to put a comprehensive report, but I stopped doing that because everybody manages their properties the way they want to manage it, right? And a lot of times our reports were so real that it would scare them. They were like, well, no, you're not right because I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. And I'm like, I get it. I get that you don't need to, but it's good to budget for those things because they will happen at some point while you own this property, right? So you want to make sure that you're taking into account that before you buy it, because before you buy is when you can still walk away. After you buy it, that's it. You can't go anywhere. So again, so we look at it. We look at, all right, what can go wrong? We budget for that. if the numbers, if we go back and we say, hey, I see, yes, I can only put paint and laminate, but I see this is going to break in about, you know, a couple years or so, if not sooner. And, you know, we're going to have this issue and that issue. I want it at this price. You can't get it at that price, move on to the next one. And then there's the next thing. There's a lot of properties that you should put in the work up front because you're looking at it, you're looking at the rents, you're looking at all this. And the way we look at it with certain properties is, now everything is, as you can tell, property based, depends on the property location, what your strategy is. I mean, there's some properties that we like as a short term hold, right? That means a year or two because we see great appreciation potential in that area. So on those short-term ones, a lot of times what we would do is buy it, get it rented, right? Maybe paint it, put some laminate in, just bare minimums to get it rented because it doesn't need anything else. But we know that in a year or two, we're going to move the tenant out. We're going to completely renovate the property and then flip it at that point, right? So at that point, we capture cash flow. We capture a lot of tax advantages. It's a long-term hold, so you can do 1031s, or you know, your capital gains tax is a lot lower because you held it for longer than a year. So, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to those. And then you have the other ones that you're going to hold it for 5 to 10 years. On the ones for 5 to 10 years, depending on where they're located, what we like to do is do all of the updates up front, right? So we buy this house. And we put new AC, new roofs, new windows, new kitchens with the self-closing hinges. So then that way, like, you know, depending on your tenants, they're not like slamming the doors and breaking them. Like they're a lot more durable and they look really nice. They're a lot easier to maintain and clean. We put laminate floors throughout the whole house because they're durable and they last longer. You don't have to, you know, you barely ever replace them. Tile in the bathrooms and any wet areas like the kitchen and stuff like that. So we do everything. Electrical, we update the electrical. We update everything that we need to on the property. And we do it to all the new trends, everything that's hot right now. The reason we do this is because this is as passive as you're going to get. Once we do this, the only problems we're going to have is when a tenant moves out, touch up paint. That's about it, right? Because everything is brand new. So nothing's going to break, you know? And if it does, we have everything under warranty. So AC, I mean, the roof, anything, foundation lifts, anything that breaks, we have it under warranty. And or it's too new, therefore nothing's going to happen, right? So we do that. So whenever a tenant moves out, All we have to do is go in, touch up paint, and move, and just get it rented right away. Right? So we're not sitting, that property's not sitting on the market for months. So that is something that we do actively. That's not something that our property manager does for us. That's not something that we expect any property manager to educate you on. You know, it's not their job. I always said it that a property manager's job is to manage the tenant. I don't know why they call it property manager, because they don't manage the property. They manage the tenant. If the tenant bitches about whatever they want or whatever's happening, they go and take care of that, right? But they're not managing the property. That's your job to do. And what I mean about managing the property is understanding when certain things need to be updated. How does your property compare to the properties in the neighborhood? If you see that there's other properties that are coming in and they're, you know, freshly remodeled and they're pushing up rents and, you know, your properties might be a little dated, maybe you can mitigate that by adding a washer and dryer in the unit, right? So now your property is the only one that comes with a washer and dryer. And a lot of times, I mean, if you shop around like on OfferUp or Facebook, you can get a set for less than $200. That's working perfectly fine, right? Yes, now you take the risk that those break or anything like that. But I mean, if you put a washer and dryer in a unit and you add an extra $50 a month to your rent, you can afford to replace that washer and dryer every year pretty much, you know, and still make a profit on it. So that is that's the things that we kind of look at when we're doing it. But again, it goes back to active retirement planning. You need to actively be paying attention to your properties. Actively be paying attention to what the rents are doing. How's the market moving in that area? Because there are going to be times where the market that you got into that was really hot, because a lot of people kind of jump into markets when they're already at the top. So, I'm talking about very small markets like neighborhoods and stuff like that. So you're jumping in. Oh, and speaking of which, don't jump into a property that's barely cash flowing because you think it's going to appreciate and eventually it will cash flow. So kind of going on that topic is making sure that the markets that you're getting into, they're already not so hot that they're not going to keep rising after that, because it's just pricing people out of that market because of where it's located. So this was the case in one of the properties that we bought a little over a year ago. So we bought a house in an area that was pretty hot, right? And then what we did is we renovated the house because we wanted to flip it initially. And we saw the growth that was happening. So we're like, hey, if we can hold on to this property for a year or so, we're going to be able to get a lot more on the flip at that point, right? So we renovated the property. We did all this. And instead of just putting it for one or the other, we put it for both. We put it for sale and for rent. And what we did is we jacked up the rent over $200 for what that neighborhood was. But our house was the nicest house on the block. I mean, it had granite countertops, great cabinets. We even staged the property, which people don't stage rentals, but we staged it because it had a little funky layout. It's 1,800 square feet, so it was a little funky. And like the living rooms, it had like, I don't know, two or three dining rooms, two living rooms. Like it was really funky. So we had it staged so people can kind of envision what it looks like. And within 2 weeks, we got it rented for $200 over the market value. But what we saw throughout that year is that the chances of us getting that rent again were not really high, because nobody else was able to match our rent in that neighborhood throughout that year. So we're like, oh crap. So we're like, all right. We saw that the tenant, they had given us a heads up. They're like, hey, at the end of the lease, we got to move. They're military. So we're like, all right, cool. So we held it a year. We saw that rents, we probably weren't going to get those $1,600 back. And we looked at the appreciation was actually there at the time, right? So it appreciated how we had anticipated. And we made an extra, I believe, $20,000 on the property by just holding it a year, plus the cash flow, plus holding it. And this goes into taxes. It goes into all of that, all the extra perks of holding a property. So at the end of that year, all we had to do is we went in, we touched up some paint. We replaced the exhaust fans that we didn't initially. And that was it. Put it on the market. Within a day, it was under contract. And it got sold, right? So, I mean, that is going back to it, active retirement planning. So if you're looking to do shorter term rentals, and by short term rentals, I don't mean like the 1 or 2 months. I'm talking about like, we call it a long term flip. So it's a 1 or 2 year hold pretty much. So if you're looking to do something like that, you got to be a lot more active in that market. You got to really know your market, know your areas, understand a little more about real estate, how everything's going to get affected. So, but if you're going to do anything else, like anything 5 to 10 years plus, now you can just, you know, be a little smarter, try to get into properties that are already producing the cash flow that you want right now. So don't bet on appreciation. That is, there's so many gurus that we see out there that, so I did a podcast recently about education and gurus, because I have my issue with them. But every guru tries to come out with their own little shtick, right? It's their own little, what makes them unique from all the other gurus. And there's some gurus that I've heard that their thing is appreciation. They would rather get negative cash flow, but make sure they're capturing appreciation. The problem with that is that that's when it gets risky, because depending on when you're buying in the market, you may not get any more appreciation, right? You may have tapped out your appreciation. So if that's the case, you're going to be pretty screwed, because if you're negative cash flow and you already have no appreciation, I mean, you're not going to make any money. You know what I mean? You're actually losing money on that property, and you're still paying taxes. You're still paying so many other things that people are not factoring in. So betting for appreciation, I believe, is extremely risky. You should always hope, be happy that you have it, but not need it, right? If you need it for your investment deal, if you need it because you're like, all right, well, this deal kind of sucks, but it's in an area that's appreciating, you're gambling, you know? And again, with life likes to punish you and then teach you, that's going to be one of those moments that life is going to smack you in your face if you need to learn a lesson. And I don't think it's necessary in today's economy, in today's market. I don't think it's necessary getting into that kind of risk. But again, you got to determine that yourself. That's your own risk. That's your own, you know, your money. But when we look at them, that's what we look at. We look at, we're going to be actively managing these properties, right? We're going to keep an eye on what the market is doing in the area. What are rents doing? How can we stay competitive? What is it that we can offer on our property that's going to put us on top of everybody else's? Budgeting in the repairs. Which that goes into deferred maintenance. We buy a lot of houses from landlords that they've had the properties for 15 years, if not more. And then they tell me, you know, but they want like an extra $40,000 for their from what we're willing to pay for it. And they say, no, I've had it for this amount of time and this and that. It's at least worth this. And I'm like, yes, it would be worth that if you didn't let the property go to shit, right? If you didn't let the property get all this deferred maintenance, I was like, now I got to come in. I got to fix the foundation. I got to fix the AC. I got to fix the roof, because you never kept up with any of this stuff. Right. And in San Antonio, foundation problems are a really big problem. They say there's only two houses in San Antonio, those that have foundation issues and those that are going to have foundation issues. So if that's the case, gutters, the way the water flows towards your property and away from your property, all those things play a big factor when it comes to holding a property here. And if you're not taking that into consideration, your foundation is going to cause a lot of issues when you try to do something later down the line, right? So we have, where was it? It was an investor a couple years back that we went to look at a property, and they had already renovated it and they were putting it on the market. So I'm walking through the property and I was like, did you get the foundation fixed? And they're like, no, it doesn't have foundation issues. I was like, did you fix any cracks? Yeah. Well, it has foundation issues. I was like, I can feel it as I'm walking through the property. It's weird. I'm very sensitive with foundation issues. I can walk through a property and feel that it's off. And I was like, I can feel this property's off and all this. And they're like, okay, but it's for rental. What does it matter? And I'm like, well, it matters because you just put all brand new flooring here. You know, you painted all the walls. You patched all the cracks. I was like, those are all things that you're going to have to do again. You know, because now you got to go through the floors, because here you have slabs in a lot of the areas in San Antonio. So now you got to go through the floor, through the slab, to fix the foundation. I was like, and then if it's a serious foundation issue, then you're going to have a lot of cracks. You're going to have door frames. You're going to have a lot of things that are going to get broken when you lift the property that you got to go back and fix. And if you have way too many cracks, now texturing becomes an issue and, you know, floating everything and painting everything. So I'm like, yes, you renovated the property, but you didn't take care of the most important thing up front. So those are the things that I always tell people, like, yes, it's a rental. Yes, you're planning on keeping it for years, but you never know what's going to happen. You never know if you're going to have to sell in a year. And if you have to sell in a year and you never fix the foundation, you're going to literally have to scam somebody else into this property. You're going to have to fool somebody else thinking what you thought, say, hey, yeah, it has foundation issues, but you don't have to touch it, right? And that to me, I mean, of course, I don't knock anybody for how they make their money. Do what you got to do. But that's not how I like to operate, and that's not how I like to do business. So cutting corners and all those things, just know one way or another, it's going to bite you in the ass down the road. You know, anything that you leave undone at first, it's something that you're going to have to do when you try to sell later. And it may cost you more money, because the longer you let things go, the worse they get. You know, they don't just get better with time, they get worse. So that is something that you want to keep in mind when you're saying, okay, I'm not going to repair this, or I'm not going to fix that, or I'm going to cut this out and I'm not going to do this. Okay, cool. But just understand that that's still there. That is still an issue, and that still needs to get addressed. If you understand that, that is not a problem, because you can factor that in your planning for it. But if you don't understand that, I'm telling you, it will come back and it will bite you in the ass. So I hope this helps. It may have been a little vague. So if there's any questions or anything you want me to elaborate on, again, shoot me an email or reach out to me on social media. I'll elaborate on it. But this is active retirement planning, right? That's the problem with passive income. There's really, I don't believe there's such a thing as passive income. Everything requires your monitoring. Everything requires your effort, especially when it's your money. Like, I don't get it when people spend so much money and then they don't even want to watch it. I'm like, it's your money. Like, who's going to care about your money more than you? You understand? Like, oh, I have somebody taking care of the property. Or I have some. No, you don't. Like, you should take care of your property. You should care about your property. If you don't care about it, why the hell should anybody else? I mean, it's your money. It's your time. Be smart about how you do it. Take your time. Do your analysis. Don't be eager to buy something that makes no sense. Don't rush into anything. Real estate is not going anywhere. It's always going to be a great time to buy. And just remember, the only thing that changes is the strategy. And as the real estate market changes, we are going to cover the different strategies that you use in rising markets, topped out markets, crashing markets, and all of that. So I hope this helps. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Keep sharing. And review us on iTunes. That apparently helps our ratings a lot. So I really appreciate it if you guys like it. Go on your podcast app, whatever you're listening to, and just review us. If you don't know how to review, Google it. It's not that hard. Please, helps out. Because it's awesome for us when we're able to help people actually achieve their real estate investment goals, right? I mean, my whole purpose with this podcast is to drown out every guru. I feel like there's just no need to spend the tens of thousands of dollars for real estate training. I'm willing to put all this out on the line, you know, put everything out for free, because there's no need for any of that shit. And these gurus are taking advantage of people. And the biggest thing is just that it's like they're forcing you to, like, they give you a credit card plan on how the hell you can put 5 or 10 credit cards together just to buy their course. I mean, that's just so crazy. But I'm not trying to go down another rabbit hole with gurus. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Again, review it, share it. And any questions, anything that you want me to cover, anything specific, a strategy, something of how we do manage anything that we manage, just feel free to reach out and ask me, and I'll put one together and answer those questions. So thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.